let's go back a little bit again. The Rif brings the Gemara that asks the Kasha about Tzricha Get Mizah Mizah. So the Gemara asks, again reading the Rif, Bishlamam Rishon Tiboygar, we understand that she needs a get from the first husband because she's married to him. Ela Misheni Amai, why does she need a get from the second husband? Zunus Bialmo, there was no Kedushin. Amar Rav Huna, so Rav Huna answers, Gezeira, Shema Yaimru, Direch Zev, and Asazah. Right, so this is Rav Huna's Gezeira, that the Pshat is what? If people see the first husband showing up, they'll figure that she got married to the second guy because she had a get from the first husband. And what are people going to say? So if the second guy doesn't give her a get, people are going to say, hey, what's going on? Nimsis, Eishas Ish, Yaitzah B'loi Get. Now again, although the Gemara later will use this as the reason why she's forbidden to go back to the Rishon, because it looks like Machzor Gerushasei, at this point the Gemara is not using that Gezeira for that reason. The Gemara is simply using the Gezeira to explain why she needs a get from the Sheni, because otherwise people will say, Eishas Ish Yaitzah B'loi Get. In other words, it's not giving the second chashash of Machzor Gerushasei, which is a totsah of that.
They'll think that's the halacha.
Well, either they'll think that's the halacha, or they'll think that there's a gross violation of the halacha. They will.
And if they think there's a gross violation of the halacha,
well, then the woman will never be able to get married to anybody in the world.
The rabbis know. Well, the older people who know.
All right, so they'll tell the rabbis, you marry her. In other words, if people. People think in Eishas Ish Yaitzah B'loi Get, they're not going to marry her.
You think that's what the chashash is?
It is. So it's either
Zilus
though.
Of the beginning.
Huh?
Zilus of the beginning. Yeah, the chashash isn't the chashash that they're going to think like the rabbis are being matzah in Eishas Ish about anything.
It could be. It could. I mean, again, there are different ways you can look at it. I mean, all of these chashashes may apply. They may think the halacha is in Eishas Ish does not need a get, which they will then apply in other cases. Or they will think that that this is not emes, that she doesn't have the right to remarry, and there'll be mighty laws on other children she'll have as mamzeris, or there'll be mighty laws on the basis.
No, I'm not asking about what the I'm sure there are plenty of possibilities that people think different things, but I'm just wondering why there's a gazelle, what the gazelle is for. Is it to prevent people from being mistaken for lachlan?
No, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying the Gezeira like
many
can be understood.
Can
yeah, it can be many. In other words, so I'll just say, people will say that this is a case of an Eishas Ish Yaitzah B'loi Get. Now, what will they therefore do with that information? That could go in different ways. It doesn't have to be a single. It doesn't have to be a single way. So now the Gemara asks the Kasha again. This is all in the Gemara. Yihachi. How do you learn the Sefer? Because the Sefer says, if she was only Niskadsha and not Nises, she is allowed to go back to the first husband. Sefer Diktani Amrula Meis Bailech V'Niskadsha V'Yachakach Meis Bailech V'Yachakach Bo Bailech Muteres Lachzer Lai Hachanami. Now Muteres Lachzer Lai, again, the Rif doesn't bring the whole Gemara, but remember the Gemara's Maskana was, she's muteres to go back to the first husband without a get. In other words, she does not need a get from the second guy. So, Frek de Gemara, the same chashash of Girei Zev and Asa Zev we have when there's Nisuin, we also have by Kedushin. Hachanami Neima Gezeira Shema Yomru Girei Zev Akidei Zev V'nimsas Eishas Ish Yaitzah B'loi Get. So the answer is, Seifa Amri Kedushe Toisab. So what do I say? I say that no. When people see by Niskadsha that she goes free without a get, they're not going to say, Eishas Ish Yaitzah B'loi Get, but they will assume, they'll give the rabbis a Lekach Sechus, they will assume that there is a reason why the Kedushe Sheni does not require a get, even though the right, even though they'll say, in other words, the Gireh said they'll still say, meaning to say, see, your kasha was, they'll just say they thought the husband was dead.
How can you possibly know what people are going to say?
Okay, listen, these are kasha on my side. I mean, you could ask a kasha on every single gezeirah in Shas without question. You're asking a generic question.
Okay, so that's always bothered me. Every essay you buy before, but that's always bothered me. Like, how do they ask this, but they won't ask that. How do you know? We'll ask this.
Well, some people. Again, I mean, listen. There will always be somebody that will say something, right? So, no matter what you do.
But you can always tell it when you're wrong. You know, something that's not the law. The law is like this. This is how we ask it.
What you're asking, are there criteria that we have anyway? How they made determinations on what things should be made a gezeirah for?
They're not going to say. People won't ask about this one, but they'll ask about that.
No, we're simply, is there any criteria that they use?
Well,
any
kind of criteria? We're looking at people. In other words, Chazal are not looking at it in terms of their objective reality. They're looking at what will the people, whoever the people are.
They didn't have
surveys. They didn't have pollsters.
Whatever
it would be. I don't know. You know, it is a good question. Ultimately. How do they determine the psychology of people? Yes. How people react? How people respond?
I mean, this is what all people, of what people.
Is there any criteria brought down here, like when they decide to come upon like an insider sort of guidebook of when such a thing was considered, when exactly was considered, when they.
Well, I think what you're saying may tie into actually the maskana of the Gemara. I think we can go back in a few lines. And in other words, what may emerge is that these structures are not reasons; they're simply the tools that Chazal use when they have another reason to do something. In other words, you'll see what I mean. I think the next meaning it is the. It's the formal rhetorical structure for achieving a result. You'll see in a second that may be what the Gemara means. I'll give you another example. You know, Netilat Yadayim. Chazal use both for Truma and for Kachim and for Chulin. They use the whole structure of Tuma, that Yadayim are a Sheni. Right. Since they're a Sheni, they're Metame Truma,
right.
And therefore you have to wash your hands to be Masalik Tuma Sheni. But if you look at the Rebbe, the Rebbe is very right. The Rebbe actually says that to say like this, if we were to ask why Chazal were Masaki Matila Shadayim, and we would typically give an answer, because since Yadayim are Shania, putting aside Chulin, let's say for Truma, because Chulin is just because you'll confuse it with Truma. So we say you're Mechuyev to wash your hands for Truma because Yadayim are Shania, and they would be Matami Truma. So the Rebbe says that's not Emes. Chazal were Masaki, you have to wash your hands, because your hands are dirty, and it's a bizayon to handle truma with dirty hands. But they superimposed the whole structure of truma as the mechanism by which they achieve the result of hygiene. Now, why couldn't they just say, wash your hands because they're dirty? And as a result, the structure gets very complicated, because all those sorts of halachas, if I touch the main netilah, all of those halachas are based on the whole structure of truma. When in fact Tuma was not actually the cause of the gezeirah to begin with. The Ravid says it was because of Nikias.
How does he know that?
Well, he brings drives from different places.
Yeah.
But he says it was the site of it was Nikias. But the Tuma, in other words, the gather is that Chazal will link things to existing structures.
If they just said wash your hands because it's unsanitary, people will say, my hands are clean.
Maybe because of that. And of course, it's difficult, like the Rebbe, to understand all the halachas. It has to be a kli, it has to be koach gavra,
once they made it.
That's what I'm saying. Once they get into tumah, so now there are rituals that have to be followed. Those rituals wouldn't have had to be followed.
Okay.
Yeah, but all right, so don't have the ritual. Yeah, I'm saying, okay, but so but, don't have the ritual.
Yeah, but then people won't do it.
It could be. So they had to ritualize it. This is the Rebbe. This is not like a modern thing. Okay. But we'll see. I think in some ways you'll see the same thing here. So the Gemara's kasha is what the Gemara's kasha is. if there's a chashash of Girei Zeh V'Nasa Zeh, Eibazai, let there be a chashash of Girei Zeh V'Nasa Zeh by Niskadsha, Elamai, by Niskadsha, there's no chashash. Because if people see her leave the second guy, they will assume it was a Kedushin B'Tais. And you don't need a get. In other words, they'll give some reason. It must be he was Makadosh on the condition that he was a Kohen and he wasn't. Or that she was a Bas Kohen and she wasn't. A Bazai, Frekta Gemara. If Kedusha Tais is a negation of the Chashash of Eishas Ish, Yaitse B'loi Get, Reisha Nami Amri, Nisui Tais. A Bazai by Nisuin as well. So again, Taisus speaks out that although you might have actually said, this is not a kasha, for carrots, Kedushay Taisa could be Machalik between Kedushin and Nisuin, because we say once there's Nisuin, which is defined here as consummation of the marriage, then all conditions are set aside because of Ein Adam Aisa Bilasai Bilasunus, right? But the chiluk is, there is a difference between Tanai and Tais. Tanai is primarily prospective. Right. This marriage is valid on the condition that I will do something. So there we say, once there's Nisuin, the commitment is absolute, and Ein Adam Maisa Bilasa Bilasanus. But Tais is a, doesn't have to be a misrepresentation, but it was a mistake.
Like a mum. Like
yes, an undisclosed mum. So there, that was a tais, even at the time of the Nisuin itself, so a bazai, that would be mevatel Nisuin. Such a mum would be mevatel Nisuin. I mentioned Rav Moshe's tshuva about a man that turned out to be gay. Right. Rav Moshe Paskin, that even after Nisuin, the woman does not need a get. Although I should say that this is very, very, very precarious. Because
that he didn't want to give her, he was like not groomed or something, right? He didn't want to give her a get.
Or
he disappeared or something.
Yeah, whatever the reason, he disappeared, you know, who knows, who knows. But the only thing, yeah, you have to know that even if I say by Tais, you can be Mavatul Kedushin even after Nisuin, that's only if there was no further Bia after the woman knows the Tais. Once she's aware of the Tais, and there's Bia, then there's a chashash of a new Kedushin. Which is really a real dilemma, you know, this is a dilemma that but they did face. Because a woman comes and she claims Kedushay Tais. So sometimes the basin will tell them, I try to work it out, but Shalom Bayis.
And then by preempting you
Bayis. Because then she becomes an Aguna, because as the Shalom Bayis, she's Mechelas on the Tais. And Mimela, at that point she needs a get, and at that point he can hold her hostage, you know. So there's a
they actually tell women that they can leave because of the Tais?
It's very rare. It's very rare because it's the Chaimer HaInyan. We almost always try to have a get. We don't just we don't like to do annulments, but
occasionally they do.
Well, listen. The it's a big controversy now. You heard about the international based in for Agunas? You heard about this?
No.
Yeah. The guy here is running it. He was an American rabbi, Rabbi Krauss. He was a rabbi of the Young Israel of Forest Hills for many years. And he's now, I think, a Rosh Yeshiva, or senior Magid Shir at Yeshiva, I think, Torah Shragit in Katamon. So, you know, he's, I think, an American Yeshiva. But he, I guess he wasn't busy enough, so he decided to form a Beis Din with two other Dayanim worldwide to matir Agunas. So they're doing a lot of Kedushay Tais stuff. They're doing Get Zikoy, where they give a get Al-Tzlach and Le'olam Shlo B'Panav. So Rev Schechter and the RCA, Rev Gedalia Schwartz, they put out a big letter saying the Beis Din is puzzled, Amaratzim, they don't have the right to do any of it. They're maturing Eishes Ish, they're maturing Mamzerim. So it's a big. So they're using Kedushay Tais a lot. They're also using Get Zikoy. They have different Maisim. Yeah, all right.
Well, in Philly, there was that mice. They resolved and under the table.
Nobody knows what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, that's the Tamar Epstein.
I mean,
I was involved in that case.
Yeah,
Silver Spring.
Yeah. This girl is from Philly. I'm not that divorced from her mother. My mother works in the same school as her mother. It's very nice lady. And she put her husband gave her a get, essentially, over a long period of time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but, okay. He was Well, okay. I mean, he should have given the get. The problem is he's autistic by nature, and once he gets, once he gets
an idea,
he can't get. Basically, she was treating him unfairly with the children.
Right.
So his idea was, I'm not going to give you a get until you modify it.
Right.
But she just kept on going year after year. Now our kids are 6 years old, or whatever it is. So it's not really Miguel and Misa so much. And everybody's telling him to give a get, but he says, "Can't give a get." So this organization Ora had demonstrations. He was working. He was a legislative counsel for the House Ways and Means Committee. So they were
bothering his boss.
Yeah, bothering his boss. They were doing marching in front of Congress. all sorts of things. So. Really went on for 2 or 3 years. There was a mess up. The Basin of Baltimore initially took jurisdiction, then declined jurisdiction. I don't think there ever was an official plan.
Really?
Every Dayan says unofficially that you're chayav, but there actually is not a particular psak they could point to.
Do Ora realize they're making it worse when they do this when there's no psak
based in? Yeah, I think so, especially with him. I mean, he convinced himself that he's a martyr to a just cause. He's a nice guy, but
he really gets.
In fact, I did some marriage counseling in the first.
So listen to this.
So he went to a Hasidic Shabbos.
The husband
went to his Shabbos to clarify that he doesn't have to give a get.
Okay, a
declaratory judgment.
Okay, yes.
So he gets a 20-page writing that says he's not allowed to give a get, because if he gives the get because of his pressure, it's a puzzle get.
Really?
Oh,
boy. He sent it to everybody.
He says, I really want to give a get, but what can I do? The Basin says I can't give a get. It's not my fault. The Basin says I can't give a get. Whatever. So, mysteriously, out of the air, Ora is this organization that demonstrates for Agunas. They say Tamar has been freed. She's freed, and everybody assumes she got a get, but she didn't get a get.
No.
And Shmuel Kamenetsky, who happens to be very, very close to her family, kind of signed off on it. So it must have been. No one has said it must have been some kedushay tais.
Really?
Now, what type of kedushay? The Emes says, what type of?
No, Rosh Hashanah doesn't tell people like she's. People have called it.
Yeah.
If you want to go out with her.
So what does he say?
She's told.
Yeah, I understand. So what's the Kedushay Tais? This is the old story. If I would have known, you can't do a Kedushay Tais if I would have known the husband would be such a crazy guy.
This was a psak of his based in?
There's no psak.
No. It's not published, but
not really. Maybe there was a secret.
There was a secret, but no one knows. It's a very secret thing.
No one even knows.
Absolutely secret. No one says what the reason is at all. They just say she's Mutaris.
Talk to Rabbi Shmuel.
People treasure Rabbi Shmuel
Kamenetsky. Although Shmuel's gone on the limb on a few things. He's gone on the limb on vaccinations. His wife convinced him that school vaccinations are dangerous.
Really?
So now he basically says kids shouldn't have vaccinations.
He says they shouldn't have
vaccinations, and therefore he paskins that a yeshiva cannot expel kids who don't get vaccinations. That's connected to Rebbe Yashu. It's connected to a lot of paskin.
She's
a big actor.
I grew up with her. She's a sweet lady. She has like every little vial of some special oil. She's very, very healthy. Right. She's like hap seed oil. She's very involved. All these natural remedies. That's her. Right. And they're both very healthy.
It works. Good.
They don't eat certain days of chal. They have a whole regimen.
So this Aguna thing, nobody knows what's going on, but it must be based on kedushay tais in some way. but it's very, very rare. The Chumrah HaInyan, we almost always try to get together. So, but the chiluk basically is that there is an important chiluk between Tanai and Tais. By Tanai, I say Ein Tanai B'Nisuin. Tais, I would type a say. Right? So that's why the Gemara is asking, if the thing that eliminates the chashash of Eishes Ishvalo Yet is Kedushe Tais, a bazai by Nisuin as well. So we're back to square one. Why do we require a get min hasheni by Nisuin? Right, that's our kasha. So look at what the Gemara says. And again, I think the teretz might be an answer to your question as well. The Gemara's answer is a bazai. If seifa amri kedushe tais havo, reisha nami amri nisui tais havo. The answer is ella. Reisha the avda isura kansua rabbanan seifa the lay avda isura lay kansua rabbanan. The difference in the reisha and the seifa is in the reisha she lemaisa did an aveira, albeit because of the eid echad. So this is connected with the swara like this. This is the connected with the chaymer. Remember that there was the idea that the Chachamim are maimin at Ein Echad only because of Isha Daika Uminsava. Again, I know you have a kasha on that too. How is the woman supposed to check? But based on the assumption of Isha Daika Uminsava, the Chachamim said we have to be matil certain chumras on her. And that is why we make a gezeira that the second guy has to give her a get. And that will mamela asher. In other words, it all goes together. Meaning like this. See, ultimately, we want to create a scenario that asers her on the first husband. Because it is the iser on the first husband that is the chomer that will give her credibility. Now the question is, how can I asher her on the first husband? She's an anusa. Right here. In other words, we have to have some mechanism. So the mechanism is, we are mechayev the second guy to give a get. And so people will say, Girei Sev and Asazev. Once the second guy gives a get, she will not be allowed to go back to the first guy because of Machzor Grushasa. That creates the chaymer. Once it creates the chaymer, we now have the mechanism of being maimed the eight of it. Which means, it's not an intrinsic, see that's why I'm saying, there's no intrinsic chashash of Girei Sev and Asazev. But Girei Sev and Asazev is the gezeira that we, in other words, we kind of have a result and we work backwards to create a chain of reasoning. The result is, we want to be sure she cannot go back to the first husband. And the reason we want to be sure she cannot go back to the first husband is because the chaymer of asherming her to the first husband will enable us to be maimin the eid echad. Now, logically, we don't have a halachic theory to ask her to the first husband because she's an anusa. But the halachic theory is that we require a get based on Girei Sev and Asazeh. Memela is usher to the first husband because of Machzir Rushasa. Ah, now one second. So but how is that a teretz? One second. But that's only going to apply, the chaymer, the kanas, is only going to apply when she actually had bia. Because that means she was negligent. Well, again, it's not so clear. Even with all that I said, it's still not entirely borer what the teretz is. If we need to ask her in order to give her an amanah,
she should have gotten out of the kedusha. She didn't get married yet, so it could be she's still checking.
No, it could be she's still checking even after kedusha.
Even after kedusha, she's still checking. She has reservations. Maybe she won't go through with it.
Okay, maybe.
So you don't want to give her the kedusha.
Maybe that's the getter. The getter is that since the chaymer. Right, the chaymer is really a getter of a kanas to be sure that she does her job.
Right.
So we'll limit the chaymer to when she actually did an aveira. See, I might have said differently. See, you could learn the Gemara differently. Actually, I'll tell you how you could learn the Gemara. And that's an interesting question. That maybe, no, it wouldn't be. I was going to say, maybe the Gemara is Chayzer Lagamri from Divrei Seven Asazah, and it simply says, Mitam Kenas, we look at the woman as if she's Mazana Baratza. In other words, if I were to ask you this, if I were to ask you, why is the woman forbidden to go back to her first husband? Is it because it looks like Machzer Gerusha? Or is it because, since she was not Medayek Uminsava, we treat her like a Mazana Baratza, Mitam Kenas? You see, if you learn the Siba So'iser is she's Mezaneh Baratzim, in other words, we look at any woman who didn't do the right checking as if she's Mezaneh Baratzim, then you actually have an excellent chiluk between Kedushin and Nisuin, because Kedushin doesn't ask her. If a woman is Niskadish to a man, she can go back to her first husband. If, on the other hand, you learn it's because of Master Grusha, then you have a Kasha, why don't you say the same thing? Now, I could learn the Gemara. Once the Gemara says Kenas, the Gemara is Chayzer Lagamri, and it's saying it's not Mitam Machzer Grusha, it's Mitam Zunus Baratzei. And Memela, you don't have that Kenas. That's one way of learning. The other way of learning is we're still working with the mechanism of Machzer Grusha, but we only apply it when she did something wrong.
This is just the reason. The reason for that is because of the Kenas.
But this would be an example of similar to what the Ravid says by Netila Shadaya, where we have like another reason to do something, and this is the structure that we use to achieve that. Okay. Now then, we'll come back to this. Then the Gemara says, Ein la ksuva. She does not get a kesuva from either husband, even from her first husband. And the Gemara says, "My taima, takinu rabbanin kesuva, kedei shloiz halgit bein of leitzia." A kesuva is normally, so it shouldn't be easy on the husband to divorce his wife. Remember, especially you have to remember that the Gemara is before chayim rabbeinu gershon. Nevela, a man could always divorce a woman bal korcha. So the chiyuv of kesuva was a way that it would not be a light in a person's eyes to be megaresh his wife. But here, since he has to divorce his wife, we want him to get rid of his wife. Hacha tehe kala bi'enav, let it be kala bi'enav leitzia.
So the Sephardim can still get the. Against your wife's wishes?
Lechaira, they could. Because, I mean, Lechaira, they weren't... I mean, Rabbeinu Gershom's Takana has a few components. One is not to marry two wives, and the other is not to be Megaresh a woman Bal Korcha. So Lechaira, if his Takana was not Nispashet among the Svardim, then Lechaira, the Gershom Bal Korcha should be good as well. Now, Lamaisa, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, this is an interesting question. Now, apparently, in 1948, the Rabbanut envisioned itself as being very proactive. They're not that way anymore. They thought they would make takanos.
Right.
Yeah. Now, Lamaisa, the Yeshiva world shut it down. The Yeshiva world was not makabel the Rabbanut as a bar samcha. So that's why they stepped up. But there was this concept that we are the world, we're the world authority, and we'll make takanas for Klal Yisrael, or at least. So the Rabbanut made a few takanas in 1948. Now that the number one, both Rav Herzog and I think it was Rabbi Uziel, who was ever the Israeli rabbi then, they made a joint takana that there would be no Yibam, even though Sfarim Paskin Yibam, and there would be no Gershon Bal Korcha, and there would be no polygamy except for the old Yemenites who.
But they accepted the people who were already married.
Yeah, they grandfathered them in. Yeah, same. But they would not allow Svardim to. They would not allow polygamy in Eretz Israel anymore. So they made takanas, and those takanas are still there. The Rabbanut will not. I mean, I don't know if people are practicing polygamy or not, but the Rabbanut will not register or will not be Masadar Kedushin for polygamy, even for Svardim. Now, the Maisa, Rav Avadya Yosef, when he became Rav Rashi in whatever the 70s. He tied that he actually wrote a whole tshuva. He didn't call for polygamy, but he said if Svardim want to do Yibam, harishus biyadam, he said, because he says Rav Uziel didn't have a koach, to kind of give away, you know, minhagim of Sephardim, and he considered it to be an illegitimate takan. All the takanas are always in the direction of Sephardim accepting Ashkenazic, you know, stock. I mean, that's always they're always giving in, you know. So he didn't want that. But the charev, right. I mean, the charev, it's all within the.
It wasn't one of the gazayers that they enacted.
Oh, in 48, yeah, they did. You can't be Megarish Balkar.
Oh, no, they did. Oh, that was one of
Yeah. All I'm saying. But all I'm saying is, Lashitas Rav Ovadia, I'm not sure what he would say about being Megarish Balkar.
Why did the Swadi Chief Rabbi Akriya, I mean, why did they.
There's a lot of pressure from Ashkenazi.
Was it really more normal? Did he rush into Ashkenazi fire?
Probably a fire.
Well, I'm not sure. You know, in those days, of course, Swadim were.
Really
much less politically powerful, and they were very strong. But there was a lot of talk about abolishing the whole Sephardic chief rabbinate to be shown the CEO position. They said, who needs it? You know, let it be one country. But I think that there was also a feeling, especially about polygamy, I think there was a feeling that it was a chilul Hashem, b'einei hagoyim. In fact, okay, we don't like to give historical reasons, but some actually connect that even to the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom. He says that since in Christian countries, you didn't have polygamy, it was thought that if Jews were to practice polygamy, it would look like a chilul Hashem.
Yeah.
In Muslim countries, where they practice polygamy, it wouldn't look like it. Some actually use the chilul Hashem hachra as the siva, but I think what Uziel felt would be a chilul Hashem, because normally polygamy is associated in modern times with promiscuity and the like. So he
bad
now, bad. Why they were mavatal yibam, I'm less sure. I mean, you know, let there be yibam, but... that they were Mevatel Yibam in the Takana as well. They also made a Takana, I think they made a Takana, which is controversial, that daughters, as Hefker based in Hefker, that daughters and sons inherit Yibam. So they made a few, the first years of the Medina, they made
the
Takana.
They don't have first
year. Huh?
They don't have first
year. Maybe they abolished it later.
They require the daughters to renounce the Yerusha. Where they'll distribute property to.
What do you mean? Yeah.
For example, they require the daughters also to renounce their interest.
Tom Southey?
Tom what?
Because they're Yorkshire.
Because they're Yorkshire.
I understand.
My secular law.
Oh, by all
reason. Yeah.
If you die without a will, secular law will require the Beis Din. You can have your yerushah probated by the Beis Din, but they'll use secular law.
Wait, you saying the assets do not pass to the spouse?
By secular law, no. Yeah. It goes part to the spouse.
Part.
No, I understand, but I'm talking about putting aside the wife. I'm just talking about you have a son and a daughter.
According to the law, the son gets everything, and the daughter has mizonos, whatever.
Right. Yeah, so what I'm saying is, I think there was a takana in 1948, but the daughters get something. I believe there was such a takana. The Rabbanut Bichlal has become more Haredi, and as a result, it becomes less activist. In other words, again, Rav Herzog had this big vision of, you know, all sorts of takanos and gezeiros, and Rav Yashiv wanted the Rabbanut basically to stay out of the Torah world's business. So Rav Yashiv kind of made the Rabbanut just. Much more moderate, less activist force in things.
I assume my polygamy was one of the guys in the show sometime earlier, and I mentioned that, you know, obviously we know we have Adam and Chava as sort of this ideal sort of one man, one woman, but I mentioned that I didn't recall any case in the Gemara of any of the Amoraim and Talaim having two wives.
Except for Ra, but Ra was in a situation. Maybe Rav didn't have two wives. It was one wife for one night. No, you're right. In other words, there's no question. Not all the Yaakov Avinu, but there's no question that the ideal is v'hayul abasar echad. Monogamy is certainly an ideal, even if the Torah mattered polygamy. I mean, and you don't find polygamy ever among Tanam and Amram not practiced. We have no mention of it at all. So Memela, some people want to say, although Yaakov Avinu is always going to be a difficult counterexample, even Avram and Hagar, but some people say that this is one of those things that the Torah matired, but it was never something the Torah wanted. And Memela, it's nichlal in the ability of Klal Yisrael to say we want to discourage it. We don't want it to be a...
Is that a mitzvah?
No, it's probably not a mitzvah, that's for sure. But the getter is, it may even be connected to Ratzon HaBayri. Meaning...
How do you know that? It was a concession, like you thought.
Well, if you look, if you look at the description of marriage in Bereishis, it seems to be a unique commitment to each other.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, some people want to say that as a teretz for slavery. Now, the Rambam says it by korbanos, right? The Rambam is the korbanos. Hashem tolerated something.
That's the Mor Nebuchadnezzar.
That's the Mor Nebuchadnezzar, not in the Mishnah Torah. Yeah, that's correct. Some want to say it for slavery too, but I have a kasha on that because Kolam Meshachar. In other words, like this: if you would learn that, well, slavery is really a bad thing. Elamai, in the ancient world, everybody had slaves, so the Torah says, okay, we're not going to usher with cold turkey. You have to have a slave. I mean, you're allowed to have a slave, but you got to treat your slave in a greater level of decency. You know, that's one mahalach.
You're talking about Eved Ifri?
No, it's about Eved Kenani.
How do you have to treat him?
Well, there's still a lot of... You don't have to treat him like an Eved Ifri, that you know, you only have one pillow.
You don't have to give him food.
Okay, but you have to give him a chance to you have to give him a chance to get fine food. Okay. There are halachas. I mean, one might even say the rule of Shein V'Ayin, which applies to Eved Kenani, is a rule that penalizes abuse of slaves. I mean, you could generalize and say that if you physically abuse your slave gets his freedom. But the big problem is that the Torah forbids you to be Meshacher in Eved. If we were to say that slavery is not a desirable thing, it's only a tolerated institution, then Fakert, we would say, Gezeit Haed, I want to free my slave.
So become a Jew then?
Yeah, that's a wonderful thing.
It's
a wonderful thing. So the fact that there's an Isser implies that it is a L'chatchila Dikas thing, not just a B'di'evet. All right, so slavery is going to be a problem.
It says someplace that I don't remember where. I can't live without a slave. I need somebody to mishavish me.
I always think of this. I remember, Chekhov, the Russian, he describes. Just in random, he doesn't even make a point of it. You have people who are so poor, like they're living in one room.
Yeah.
And all they have is water. They don't even have tea, but they have to have a slave that boils water for them. It's like a slave who boils the water, you know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
In many ways, my wife tells me when she was a kid.
Right.
So they had. She lived in Cordoba.
Right.
And she said there were many, many, many families, because people were very, very poor. So families would beg, the richer families in town, beg them to please take their daughter as a maid. No pay at all. Just give them
a slave. Or a servant maid.
Well, no pay.
No pay.
Just take care of her. You'd have a better life, a better standard of living.
In a way, being a slave wasn't so bad,
yeah.
If you treat them nicely.
That's true. Yeah. Eved Kenani absolutely is today. Yeah, it's only Eved Ivri is only Bizman Shah Yaival Nayhek.
How are you allowed to get in there? Can you go and capture one?
Oh, okay, so that's interesting. The interesting question is consensually, a person, a goy could be Mocher himself or be Makna himself to you as an Eved. But the question is, can you kidnap a guy? Meaning, a prisoner of war, a prisoner of war,
yeah.
If it is a halakhically valid war, it's interesting. In either a halakhically valid milchemes mitzvah or milchemes rishus, but the only question is, there is no halakhically valid milchemes rishus today. What about you're an American serviceman? In other words, it's interesting. If in order to be kaina and ebed, you need a maisa milchama, which means to say, so an Israeli soldier fighting a defensive war could take some Arab woman, make her an ebed kanaini. What if you're an American serviceman fighting in Iraq? So the Nitziv, he doesn't talk about ebed per se, but the Nitziv actually says that there is a musik of legitimate wars that exist in Umos HaOlam as well. Now the only thing is, remember that according to the Rambam, even when you take a bona fide ebed kanaini, she has to be makabel. In other words, you're only given 1 year. You're given 1 year to convince her to become the halachas of an eved. If she doesn't do it after the year, she goes free. You're not allowed to be machzik and eved kanani more than a yid beis chayder. So, in truth, that's an amazing thing, really, because in truth, according to the Rambam, you essentially cannot make somebody a slave against their will. In other words, I've captured them.
Well, for a year.
For the short term, yeah. I've captured them. And then I got a year to convince them to be my slave. If they don't want to, I got to set them free. Although the Rambam does have one big line, and that is, that's if they don't want to, but they accept Zion mitzvahs. If they don't accept Zion mitzvahs, you kill them. that's the right chayla. So basically,
you can't sell them?
Nope. The Rambam says you cannot sell them. Absolutely not. The Ravid says you sell them. Now, it's not clear why. So the Rambam says essentially you take this woman against her will, or a man. I mean, it doesn't have to be a woman. It could be a man. A man against a prisoner of war. I give him three choices. He says, if you want to accept the halachas of an Eved Kanaini, you go to the mikveh, have a bris. You're my Eved Kanaini. You have a good home, whatever it is. If you don't, but you accept the Zion mitzvahs, you go free. If you don't accept the Zion mitzvahs, I kill you. By the way, it's not so pashut, what's the svara that I could kill him? Because here's the thing. A guy doesn't get killed until he violates the seven mitzvahs. I mean, because a guy tells me, I don't accept, I can kill him because he doesn't accept? There was no... In other words,
maybe
this is
over Hashem.
It's kaifer Hashem. Okay, so maybe that one. I mean, let's say the guy says, "Well, the guy says like Ishmael said by Matan Torah. He says, I can't accept the prohibition of theft, but he didn't steal yet, so I can kill him just because he says I don't accept." It's a very straight Rambam. Besides the vigilante aspect of I can kill him without a base. Okay, putting that aside, that's the Rambam sheet anyway. That Noahide law can be enforced by individuals. But to me it's a big, big chiddush that a refusal to be makabel Noahide law could happen to be a source of a chi of misa. I mean, certainly for a Jew it's not that way. If a Jew says on Thursday, I'm not going to keep Shabbos, even if there's hasra, you can't kill him on Thursday. You have to wait until he's machal, till it's machal Shabbos of the playoffs. And that's what's together. They have to say maybe by a guy, machshava ra kadosh baruch hu mitzaref l'maaseh. Maybe a chesed, the machshava ra to be over is gerechem day a maaseh.
No, but even when we say that, even by a Jew, you
say
it already is.
It's not chayav misa for not the basin shalmata. Yeah. So it's a difficult Rambam. And maybe when the Ravid says, now the Ravid is chaylik. The Ravid says, you don't lose your investment. If the guy does not accept the Zion mitzvahs, you sell him. Now, I'm not sure if the Ravitz Nakuda is you don't kill him because you're not a Beis Din, or maybe you don't kill him because the only thing he did wrong was not be Makabel. But what's interesting is, it's all fascinating that according to the Rambam, at least long-term permanent slavery is not a compulsory institution, meaning you really cannot force the person into long-term slavery. But as I say, going back to your immediate question, if the guy wants to be your slave, then the mela. I think we talked about that. That's some people advocate that for the for a mamzer. In other words, Rabbi Tarfon's din of Yechaylin Mamzerim Mitar V'Yatzman Mamzer Naisei Shivcha. The kids are avadim and they're not mamzerim, right? That's right. So that would work even today. Now, what do we mean when we say an Eved Ivri? Now, an Eved Ivri is only Noe B'Shas Shayevel Naye. So today, there's no Metzias of Eved Ivri. Now, what does it mean? There's no Metzias of Eved Ivri. I can have a Jew work for me. What do we mean? There's no. So really, it's really only relevant for one thing. That is, the heter of an Eved Ivri. That I could give him a shivcha kenaimus. That's a unique heter. Mm-hmm. And that unique heter requires the shame of Eved Ivri. So today I can have workers, I can have Jewish workers, but they don't have a chalai shame Eved Ivri to be much of a shivcha. So really that's, well, plus the other thing, you don't have to share your pillow or give your pillow, but really that's the only practical importance of the chefs. Really, an Eved Ivri is really a worker. He's a worker that you have to support. And you can have all of those arrangements. I can have a worker that I support, but he's not much of a shivcha, except his man Shayevo Nayeg. Okay. Yeah.
Just don't tell him those people who are writing things about how ISIS is so backward. Just don't mention it. They hold that Jews and Christians are okay. They don't want to pay into it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Another problem,
there's another thing that they do. Okay, seconds. Yeah. Then we had.
Archaeological sites.
Well, you know, those are good questions. I really would like to. I wish somebody. Part of it is because of politics. People are reluctant to write these svarim. But, like, you know, what is the heter? Why aren't we mechuyev to destroy. Let's say the ancient archaeological sites. Why are we not mechuyev to destroy it? You know, even things like destroying churches. Now, I'm not in favor of it. But al pi halacha, it's not pasha to be madger. You can always give an answer. It's pikuach nefesh for us.
We have the Israel Museum. We have all the Avodah Zarah, the Kabbalah. It's all there. All the Mizbachos, all the Pesach, the Saldi, well, everything. There's everything there. Like, so what? Why are we supposed to break it up? Take a snatch out?
Or we have to pay to go see it.
You have to what?
You have to pay to go see it.
Are you
allowed to go and see it, to walk
and see it?
Are you allowed to see it?
It's
another question.
Well, that's another question, yeah. On one hand, we say, Kail Mare Vareach. Ain bo mishum me'ila. It's not called getting hana from hekdesh, but it's still us from at least us from midravana.
We still have a mitzvah to destroy it. Right?
Yeah. So the question is this. The question is like this. The question is that the Gemara says an avodah zarah that belongs to a goy, you could be mevatel until the Israel is kainan. Now, what is bittul? Bittul is some form of mutilation, meaning it does not require actual pulverization. If you cut off its ear. Now, once a yid is kind of the Avodah Zarah, beetle doesn't help, then you'd have to destroy it. But there is beetle before you're kind. Now, the question becomes this. Certainly, I didn't see the Israel Museum stuff, but usually these things are not totally intact. They're found with some pieces missing. The only question is that called beetle if it happened by itself with the passage of time? So that's Avodah Zarah Shenishtabru Mi'eilat. So Machlekes in the Gemara, if there was no intentional Maisa of beetle, but it just became broken up, is that called bittul? So there is a tzad that if they found the Avodah Zarah in a state of being broken already, so there would be mutter b'hanah, but I have to go through the halachas again. The halachas of Avodah Zarah also is something, this is again part of Rebbe Yashiv's godless, the shekels, remember the shekels from India?
Yeah.
Where women cut off their hair in honor of the idol, and they sell the hair, and there are wigs. So this was the whole. This required people to be ma'ayan in the sugya of takruvus avodah zarah usher b'hana. It was not a familiar sugya for people in halacha l'maisa. So Rabbi Yashiv was, of course, a bucky in that sugya as well. So here you have to be ma'ayan in the sugyas of avodah zarah and ishtabru mi'eilaha. Is it called bitul? But that would be, I think, the lungus of the heter. If, on the other hand, we found an intact idol and we were kind of it, we bitul wouldn't help. Wouldn't help at that point. Yeah. Okay.
We still have a mitzvah of pulverizing it.
The chayra, at that point, there would be a mitzvah of pulverizing it. Right. So that part of the Taliban thing is not so so bad, really, when they went ahead and destroyed those Buddhas and those other things. It's hard to understand. The question is there, I don't know. I mean, to say that we need to have it in order to learn what it is so we can refute it. Sorry, that's not a heter by Avodah Zarah Mamash. That's a heter to read and learn about it, but not to actually be.
I don't know what you're learning from the Palmyra ruins about so much dafka about Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, you're not really learning the philosophy. I mean, it's not. Yeah, the philosophy and theology you can get from other sources.
You have a book, Memorial to a Forgotten Religion.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so we need a sefer that addresses, you know. The Sefer Teres HaMelech was written to address enforcing Shiva Mitzvah Neyach against Goyim. And, you know, the authors were arrested. They were subject to police interrogation and like for inciting violence. So, unfortunately, there are certain areas that we can't discuss that publicly. But one needs to be mayan taka. The halachas are, these are halachas. One needs to know what the halachas really and truly are. Okay. Now the other thing is this is the chayra. Okay, that's the question. The chiluk between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. In other words, the Yisr Hana from Avodah Zarah, that applies in Chutz La'aretz too. I'm not allowed to be Nena from Avodah Zarah. The question is, Eretz Yisrael is unique because there's a chiyuv to destroy Avodah Zarah. But here's the question. This wouldn't answer. Is that only the Avodah Zarah of the Canaanim? Now, let's go back to church. I know that doesn't answer the Israel Museum. In other words, let's talk about a church, right? There's a church. Now, it is Avodah Zarah, and it's Asur Bahana.
What's Avodah Zarah?
Let's say Christianity. Let's say the church is Avodah Zarah. It's a Makam Avodah Zarah.
The church or the statues?
The statues in the church, let's say.
Okay. So they're playing churches. They have those statues.
Okay, let's say the statues. It is Avodah Zarah. It's Asur Bahana. But it's not so plush as the chiyuv of destruction was not a generalization for all Avodah Zarah. It was the Avodah Zarah that the Shiva Amim. So that's going to be another question. The chiyuv of Hashchasa is not coextensive with the Isser Hana. The Isser Hana is to every Avodah Zarah, but I don't have to destroy idolatry in Chutz La'aretz, right? So that's another thing to be mayan in. Now again, that wouldn't answer the Israel Museum, which has the Canaanite stuff. Okay. They have Israelite stuff too, right? Don't they have Baal worship?
Oh, yeah. They have Mizbechos also. And actually, it looks like what you might think of Mizbeach looks like.
You know, that's
what people... They have horns on them, and the whole thing. It's like the whole...
Wow.
Yeah.
These are models, or these are the actual?
No,
these are the actual.
Real
they have a whole intact Mizbeach.
Aren't they reconstructed a little bit though?
Maybe they fixed them up a little bit. They could have fixed them up a little bit. I don't know, but they're there. It's the real thing. At least they
see. That's interesting. I can see it. Okay. Yeah, that's what they. That was the kind of they have, you know, on Har Gerizim. You have the Shomronim.
Right.
They do their Korban, they do something which they call their like Korban Pesach.
Yeah.
So I think they get like thousands of Jews come to watch it, including yeshiva guys. They want to see you.
I've been there on Pesach.
You've been there? Okay. Yeah,
I haven't seen them
check.
You
missed it.
Because they don't have Pesach at the same time as we do.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
They have in their calendars like that exactly.
Oh, you should have the wrong day, maybe?
What's that?
You showed up the wrong day?
I showed up, I was on Pesach. It was Pesach for them also. Yeah. But it wasn't. But they didn't have the same. Not that I intended to be there when they were shut. I thought it would be interesting.
So come back for Pesach Sheni. Yeah. But anyway. But some people are saying, if this is Mamash, if this is like a Korban Avodah Zarah, one should.
They believe in one God. They don't believe in Avodah Zarah.
So yeah, no, they're.
Ah, okay, okay. That was a question. The Mark calls it Avodah Zarah. The Mark calls the Israel, unless it could be a different religion. They say the people who shech the Har Gerizim is
Avodah Zarah. I mean, they seem pretty. Yeah, now they seem pretty. Yeah, they stalk down. They're monotheistic.
Yeah, they're keeping. At Pesach, I saw they were making matzahs. You know, I watched them make
matzahs. Now, these are not the Druze. I get the picture. The Samaritans are totally different.
Separate, like a separate ethnic.
I mean, how many are there?
There are like 1,000 of them.
Only 1,000.
In the next time, we're in Cholon. They have a whole community.
Cholon, yeah. They're actually some from the Gai people. They're trying to convince the Gaia people.
Shema Yisrael, you know, like next to the doorposts.
Where do they live? They all live right there.
They live there on
the reason. They all live. They're all in one place.
No. Some men live in Cholon.
Yeah.
And they the same people live in Cholon also. I mean, everybody's related, right? Mm-hmm. So they also either have homes or they live in
there. Right next to Shem. Ah. Different Torah, different methods.
Right.
Now
the Samaritan is that the same as the old Ksav Ivri? That's the Ksav Ivri.
Very similar. Yeah. Their writing is
like similar.
They have changed it. Yeah. They also have their own Aramaic and their own Targum, which has changes. They lost all the ions.
They lost the ions.
I think I'm right in saying they lost all the ions and hence all become haze and that.
They were making this
matzah.
It was like the
matzah
was like the
pita,
like the
mafia
thing.
Yeah, well,
sorry,
I mean, many
swear
they make also
like that. So I asked them, you know, like they were. It seemed to be taking a lot of time for them. It didn't seem like it was 18 minutes. Not 18 minutes out of the day. No, they hold 18 minutes, but they hold it. Has to be baked with this. But if you, they said, you put salt in the thing,
We're super duper machmer, but that's where this Chazal give you a lot of aces that you can delay chametz. <All right. laughs> Okay, let's go a little lighter.
Everybody makes
classes. Yeah. Lo mazaynes, lo peiris, lo belois, my time it, tonight ksuva, kiksuva dummy, bekeven de lesla ksuva, lesla tonight. Now, what is lo peiris? So the Rif explains, peiris, sha'ochal habal, mi nichse mulub, liachar shenissus lesheni. One second, let me go back a little bit. When we learned the Mishnah itself, well, that's l'chara very obvious. In other words, what happened here? The husband, she thought the husband was dead. She married the second guy. A husband shows up. So the chiddush of lo peiris is that she cannot be Taiveya the Peiris that her first husband ate from the Nichsei Melug after she married the Sheni. I mean, L'chara, that is Pashat. That's not a Knas. Because since the Oraisa, she's married to the Rishon, any Peiris he ate would be good. In other words, if anything, the aspect of Knas is only to say that we don't let her. Actually, it wouldn't be her. It would be her husband. I mean, logically, what should have been the following: if we were to work with this without kenosis, what I would have said is, the second husband should reimburse the first husband for the pay raise that the second husband ate. Now, why don't we do that? So presumably, because the second husband had no reason to think, right. So Mamela, we're going to allow it.
He doesn't have the same knife and pencil that she does. What is that, by the way?
Well, why Chazal put the burden of inquiry more on the woman than the man? I don't know. It could be, again, it's Yaisha Masha Isha writes Elisa. In other words, the woman is presumably maybe better suited to know. I mean, the woman knows her husband, the woman knows relatives, the woman knows where to look for him, the woman knows where to check for him. A second guy, a stranger, is just less familiar with the historical circumstances. So one second, I want to go back. If we go back to the Mishnah itself. The Nebuka Yosef says in the Mishnah that both, and he says, Rashi says it also, we're not mitzi from the Sheni the peros that he ate kaidim shebo harishay. Right, so that, yeah, that's how we learned. That makes perfect sense. Meaning, this is not a kanas, this is the other way around. In other words, this is not the same as the other thing. This is simply what you might call a safe harbor. We don't make the sheni pay the peros that he ate to the rishain, because since the sheni, so to speak, acted in good faith, we are not mechayev the sheni to pay the rishain. So this is a little out of sync with the other things. This is not a kanas issue. This is the other way around. We don't consent the sheni to reimburse. But the Rif articulates it.
Would you call that a kenas?
No, we don't call it a kenas.
No, that's saying even if he were to pay.
No, that wouldn't be a kenas either. That would be a masik.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, technically, the sheni ate peros that belonged to the rishon.
You
didn't know. So Memela, the sheni should pay the rishon. Elamai. Vibal, the sheni, acted in good faith. My havidai lemevad, so we're not mechayev. Now, the Rif, for whatever reason, although both halachas are true, states it in the opposite direction, that the rishain is not mechayev to pay the sheni the peros that he ate. What would be the hava amina for that? The answer is there might be a rabbinic havamina. Because if the sheni has to give her a get, because people will say, Gireish the Nasa Zeh, so you might have had a havamina. It might be a necessary corollary. In other words, if we are choshesh that people will think the second guy's marriage is valid, part of that would require that the first guy reimburse the second guy. Because, in a sense, people will think she's married to the second guy. Girei Seva, nothing that, people will think she's married to the second guy. Memela, there might have been a havamina that the first guy would be chayev to reimburse the second guy.
For what? He, at the time that he was married to the woman, there was no second guy.
No. I don't mean for those papers. No. In other words, the Rif says, if the first husband, after he comes back, continues to eat peros before the second guy divorces her. So there might be a havamina there. So Kamash Malan, we don't do it in that direction either. Okay. I don't know why the Rif only says that side of it. I mean the Mishnah says anyway, lo peros, lo alzev, lo alzev. So why does the Rif say peros sha'achal abal minichlim lo glachash nisos hasheni? Okay. Balai balais. Balais means she does not get her nichsei tzang barzel bien. Masha balu minichsei tzang barzel. The yavad lagamri. Oh, okay. So he's chaylik on Rashi. What is balais? Balais literally means worn out items. So the way Rashi learned that meant her dowry is intact. She does not have the right to reclaim those items. What about if the dowry is gone and she's simply seeking reimbursement? That's nichlal in ksuba. In other words, her inability to claim nichsei tzayin barzel as mumminess That's Nichlal and Ksuva. And Balahos negates her right to claim it bien. The Rif is Chaylik Lagamri. The Rif says the word Ksuva means Mana Masayim. Her inability to collect Nichsei Tzayin Barzel, that's what Balahos means. But a dowry that's intact, the Rif learns she actually gets. She actually gets. Look at this, what he says. This is Chaylik and Rashi. Machlekes Rashi in the Rif. That what? Masha Bala Minichse Tzayin Barzel V'yavad L'gamri Eino Mishalim L'tachkav Avo Balai Shehein Kayamin Yeshla V'nait Lasa Hidr Asinim B'ksuvas Prek Amon and Izainis Hayaitzis Mishum Shemra Naiteles Masha V'panaha V'yaitza And Messiah Lerafuna, the Amar Zinsela Yafsida Blasa Kayamin. Well, the Rif, okay, we're going to go over this again. If a man divorces his wife because of Shemra, Shemra means there's a Cheshash, she was Mizana. So she does, even if she doesn't get a Ksuva, she takes what is Bien. And indeed, this is a Raya to Rafuna, that even if she was Mizana Biedin, and she gets no Ksuva, the Rif says, "Hu adin in the kenas of isha shemes baila." Now Rashi and Ruki Yosef are chaylik, and they say this is a different thing. This is a kenas to rabbanan, and the rabbanan dikar kenas is even b'leisa kayami. Okay, we'll stop it. Okay.